to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast, your Super Tuesday edition. Last week, we were one day late on getting that out to you, thanks to my equipment deciding that it just wasn't going to cooperate in any way, shape, or form, but we got that under control together because there's no problem we can't solve as a family. Now, we are here for, as I said, the Super Tuesday edition of NXT. We're going back to a regular schedule starting next week. This show felt much more like an interesting show, or like a show that should be a quote-unquote Super Tuesday show. Last week was brought down a bit, as we talked about, by the fact that the main event didn't actually have a winner, which felt frustrating, and it felt like them trying to just string out this momentum from this match into another match that wasn't necessary. But we got some excellent matches up and down. We continued a few stories, and we have some good setup for next week, which is what we're looking for here. We're looking for good shows. We're looking for setups for other good shows. That's how the cycle continues. I'm going to be covering all that. As always, you could follow me on Twitter. I'm ZachNXT. That's ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling over there, being just good old pals. That's always fun over there. Now, before we do get started, we like to talk about the news and the notes, as you know. Now, the big story that's been going along this week that I've had to rewrite several times as information has come across, that's one of the advantages of doing a show on Tuesday or Wednesday, is that by that point, usually the news is pretty well settled, was that there were some issues with Cameo and Twitch and WWE. Specifically, as the story unfolded, originally we thought that everybody who was using either Cameo, so for example, Big E, who uses Cameo, he's very popular, obviously. I believe he donates it to charity and he's made well over, I want to say it was $100,000, something to that effect. He's made a ton of money for great causes. Big E is a great dude. And we have a lot of people that stream on Twitch and do all these fantastic things. And originally we thought that WWE performers weren't going to be able to be affiliated with third-party sites like that. Because, I don't know, man. Because Vince McMahon finally figured out that these people were doing internet stuff and he doesn't like it. I can't really figure it out. Then it came down that WWE, generally speaking, once you come into a company, owns your name. So, for example, I don't believe John Cena owns his name. He is somebody that came up through WWE. So when you come to WWE, whatever name you use, whether that is your real name or a performer name, that is a name that the WWE owns. And for whatever reason, again, I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I can't think of a good reason why you would not want your performers to be on these sites. I can think of a bunch of reasons why it's bad. But it seems as though our beloved superstars may be able to get away with being on these sites so long as they don't use their in-ring names. Now, a lot of people were very angry when this first came out, myself included, because I enjoy a lot of people who are in WWE and stream games. It helps me not only be entertained, but feel more related to that person who is streaming. I find out more about them as a person, and it makes me care more about them as a performer. So it's all good things from that angle. From the bad side in WWE, if I could say those words correctly, I don't see downsides. You are a company that doesn't have a video service that lets fans pay for somebody to record a message. You also don't have a third-party streaming service. I could understand almost if WWE for some reason had their own streaming service and they didn't want people to use a different one, but they don't have anything like that. So it's really just you nailing down on people's hobbies and ways that they're making money outside of WWE, or like a Big E, you are taking money away from charity just because you don't like your performers being on something that's not very specifically your show with a Zoom meeting behind it. Now, that is good news that everybody is going to be able to continue to stream if that is true under their real names. However, I see a problem with that. If you let Big E, Xavier Woods, Tyler Breeze, Dakota Kai, Paige, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins continue to stream or do Cameo or be on the YouTube channel, then if somebody were to stumble across, let's take for example an AJ Styles stream, he's usually streaming, I want to say on Mixer, it's Mixer or Twitch, can't remember, but say somebody comes across that and they're playing games and they're now into this AJ Styles guy. Well, I would think that that would raise awareness for your product you're trying to get them to watch, since what you're selling is the superstars. And it would hopefully bring eyes to a product. Or if it doesn't bring eyes to a product, it at least helps existing fans feel more connected with their favorite superstars. Because if you spend a couple hours with somebody on a stream, you get to know them better. It's a fun experience. The other problem is that if everybody has to use their real name, what that means is that if you go to Cameo and you want a shout out from Big E, well, you can't do that. You'd have to search for Ettore Ewan. That is Big E's real name. If you want to go to Up Up Down Down and see Xavier Woods streaming with a couple of his friends, you can't do that. You have to go find Austin Watson. If you want to go see him hang out with his buddy Tyler Breeze, Prince Pretty, you can't do that. You got to look for Matthias Clement. Okay, fine. Maybe YouTube's not your thing. Maybe you want to go over to Twitch, just hang out with Dakota Kai for a bit. Well, you can't, because you have to search Sheree Georgina Crowley. Or if you want to hop over to Paige's stream, you can't do that either. You have to find Soraya Jade Bevis. Heck, maybe you're still rocking with AJ Styles over on Mixer. You can't do that anymore. You got to search for Alan Neal. Maybe, okay, let's try the YouTube again or a stream. Maybe Seth Rollins is jumping in on a Madden tournament. You know, he's a big old Bears fan. He gets mad when he's losing. It's funny. He's pretty good at the game. You can't do that either. I'm so sorry. You got to search for Colby Lopez. Now, here's the problem. If I have to search for Ettore Ewan or Austin Watson or Matthias Clement or Sheree Georgina Crowley or Soraya Jade Bevis or Alan Neal or Colby Lopez, people aren't going to find them as easily, because when Colby Lopez is on a Twitch stream, you are not connecting it with Seth Rollins anymore. Or if you see Seth Rollins on your TV and you search his name, chances are you're not going to find it as easily. I didn't know Big E's name was Ettore Ewan until I looked it up. I didn't know Austin Watson was Xavier Woods. It's easy enough to find, but if I have to go through an extra step to find somebody, I don't know that I'm as likely to do it. And what you're doing is, for Ettore Ewan, you're taking away an avenue that has allowed him to donate tons and tons and tons of money to charity that he's raising by himself. For Austin Watson, you are taking away, if you go as far as YouTube, to take away what could very likely be a second career, and giving somebody who is currently injured and can't be a part of your product an outlet to be creative and to be fantastic. Paige hasn't been on WWE TV in I don't know how long. At this point, she's more of a streamer to me than she is a wrestler or a manager. So if we are going to have everybody use their real names, that is fine, but that is going to affect all of the people that are streaming or are doing Cameo. I think Cameo is probably going to be the hardest one, because Ettore Ewan is a lot harder to search for than Big E. And presumably, if you can't use your real name, you won't be able to advertise that you're a WWE superstar if they don't want their name affiliated with anything. So all that you have done is you have effectively taken, you've made it harder for people to maintain an audience and fan base. You've certainly made it harder for them to gain new followers. And you're clamping down on a creative outlet, I imagine for no reason other than you don't have control of it, and so you think it's bad. But I would argue that if you watch Raw or SmackDown, especially Raw, where reports have been that they're changing the entire show just hours before, maybe you having control over everything isn't the best idea, because WWE has not exhibited with any amount of a built confidence in me that they can do much with control. They can set up a Thunderdome that has fancy flashing lights and a muted crowd. They can certainly do that, but they can't make their product better. And so I don't trust them to handle how their superstars can go on Cameo or Twitch or Mixer or any third party, anything that is not going to affect them. You're not going to be on a Twitch stream and get injured. You're not going to be doing a Cameo and fall over and not be able to perform. It's not like you're going out there and playing football or you're going out there and shooting a movie where you have to take time off. It doesn't affect WWE at all, except they don't want their character names on something they didn't put it on. And that's your right as a business. The people sign the contract. You own their names. That's great. I'm so very happy for you. I'm sure that you feel great about yourselves for doing it. And while it might be good business, I can't figure out how, but it might just be, it's not really being good people. And I said that same thing when WWE, the largest wrestling company in the world, they'll be quick to remind you, at that point, and I'll remind you still to this day, is the only major wrestling company that has released anybody. New Japan? Nobody. TNA, or rather Impact? Nobody. All Elite? Nobody. WWE is by far the biggest wrestling company in the world, and they have earned that. They were on track at that point to make more money than they ever had, putting out one of the worst products they ever had. And their solution was to be the only company still to this day to release anybody. And if you were nice enough to stay around, make sure you don't jump on a Twitch stream or a Cameo as Big E, Ettore. Make sure you don't use the name that you have built for yourself. But that's enough of that. We're going to talk about a fun NXT show. So tonight, we get some recaps and some highlights, and we're told that tonight it's going to be Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT title, and for our main event, we're going to have Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez, there it is, that's smooth, in a steel cage match, which should just be fantastic. They're going to punch each other real hard. The NXT title match feels a little bit anticlimactic because we should already have an NXT champion. There was no reason to do a singles match now on top of the Fatal 4-Way that they already did. The Fatal 4-Way felt like and was advertised as we're going to have a new champion. And then you just kind of pulled an old wrestler carny, I don't give him everything this week, brother, you got to string him along. And it didn't make this match feel big. It made it feel smaller just because these are two people that were in the Fatal 4-Way. These are two people that were the last two involved in the decision to make it a tie. And so it is less, oh my God, this is so great, and more, all right, can we finally have an NXT champion, which I don't think they were going for. At this point, I didn't know who would win. So I was on the Finn Balor side. I thought Finn should definitely win the title. On the call, we have Vic Joseph, Beth Phoenix, and Wade Barrett on. Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett are actually in the building. I believe Beth Phoenix has a studio at home that she uses to call the matches. They've done a great job of making it seem as though as they're calling a match and you're not looking at them, it feels like Beth Phoenix is there. So that's very good. It never feels awkward or like she's got like a slow connection. Like, you don't get any of that. Finn Balor is out first. At this point, I didn't realize we were doing that match first, and I just have that for a second. I thought we were doing the match now. I was going to say, boy, that's early. And then, since getting beaten last year at SummerSlam by The Fiend, Finn has been a different guy. He's not just the happy-to-be-there smiling guy all the time. And it's really created a new character, almost, and it keeps him from getting stale, because he is very, very good. But if he had come back to NXT as just smiling, oh, I'm happy to be here, babyface, he wouldn't be very interesting. He came back as a heel. He came back with a nasty attitude. And it seems as though he's going to be a face, just kind of a hard edge face. And he can absolutely pull that off. And I think it does a lot more for him being that guy than it does being like Apollo Crews, where you're just smiling and happy to be there. They have both now got an edge to them, so they're both much more interesting. Adam Cole comes out next, so I guess we're just going to do this right now. Feels early, but it wasn't going to be the main event, so this is the next best thing. You don't want to put the NXT title match and then the steel cage match, because that's a lot for back-to-back. Starting with a big match can be good. Usually that's when a crowd is at their freshest, so you're going to get the loudest reactions, which obviously isn't a factor now, but it starts the show off hot. That's why Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania going first worked, because it was a shot to the arm. It was a big deal, and the crowd was already excited. They weren't tired out yet, and they were ready to go. So when Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar got going, the crowd was hotter than they would have been if they had gone 5 hours later. Again, that's not a concern right now, but I still think for the overall aesthetic of a show, I think it helps. So William Regal is out here with the NXT title as they announce the match. It's great to see him in person and not just like on a Zoom meeting on a tablet. That's much better, have to say. The Thunderdome is very flashy, so on and so forth, but there's something about real people being at ringside. The Thunderdome sounds like a WWE 2K video game crowd in a cutscene, or like at the screen where you can restart a match and it shows you your star rating, where there is still crowd noise, but it sounds like the crowd is bored or muted. But here, although they're not real fans, they're Performance Center athletes, there's real people and real noise, and that is a world of difference. NXT didn't want to do the Thunderdome because they didn't want to jeopardize their relationship with Full Sail. I'm fine with that, and frankly, I think it sets NXT apart from Raw and SmackDown in main event. And I still think it's better to just have the people there. I like that WWE is doing something to try and get fans feeling like they're back in the arena, but that sound is the most important thing in wrestling, it seems like. And you just apparently can't replicate that yet through technology. So we're in the match now. We're getting towards the end, and Finn hits the coup de grace. Adam Cole kicks out. They said that nobody has kicked out of the coup de grace. Now, there's just no way that's true. Between NXT and especially the fact that Finn was on the main roster, there is no way that nobody's kicked out of the coup de grace. I think Kevin Owens did when he was still in NXT. I feel like people have. It has been a while, but there's no way in WWE that somebody hasn't kicked out of that coup de grace finisher. A lot of people, or especially old-timers, like to say that one of the big problems, in addition to people smacking their legs, which it makes a, like when somebody kicks somebody, they slap their leg to make a sound. It's a cool sound. I don't understand why that's a problem. But in addition to that, people like to say that all that the kids do now is they don't use psychology. They're just kicking out of finishers for a good reaction so that people will chant, "This is awesome," or "Fight forever." And really all people are doing is kicking out of finishers. I would like to point out to that crowd that, to my memory, the kicking out of finishers for a big effect, and especially the kicking out of a finisher and then looking exasperated at out into nowhere, like, how the hell did this person kick out? 100% ramped up after Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at the first match at WrestleMania. Undertaker hit the tombstone. He was going for the pin. Shawn kicked out, and then Taker basically was laying there with an exasperated look on his face. And from that point forward, we had a lot of people kicking out of finishers. Then we had Shawn Michaels, Undertaker 2, especially in the Undertaker Triple H Hell in a Cell, where Shawn Michaels hit the Sweet Chin Music, and then Triple H hit the Pedigree, and Undertaker still kicked out. My point is, people like to act like kicking out of too many finishers is just a new men and women problem, like a new wrestler problem, and it's not at all. It's a problem that old-timers have had, and it's a problem that I don't know if it started here, but when I started noticing it was when HBK and Taker started it. So I don't think it's just a generational thing here. Adam Cole turns around, hits the last shot on Finn, and Finn kicks out. Of the four people in that match last week, it felt to me like Finn needed to be the NXT champion the most. It would have felt like weird if it were Johnny Gargano, because he's not there at the moment. It would have felt underwhelming and if he were the NXT champion. Adam Cole just had the NXT title for 400 days. It wasn't necessary to put it on Adam Cole. Adam Cole did his work with the NXT title. Tommaso Ciampa was the guy that I thought would win, or at least he would be in this match against Finn Balor. And he's the other person that you could argue needed the title. He never lost it. He had to give it up due to injury. And he never got a great chance to get it back. But even so, it felt like Finn wouldn't have had much to do without the NXT title, whereas Ciampa, I could see just getting into another program and making it great because that's what he does. It felt like Finn really needed to be the NXT champion. And alas, Finn hits the 1916 from the top rope, no less, to pin Adam Cole and to win the NXT title. This was a good match. I don't know that it was a great match, but it was a lot of fun to watch. It almost felt too short. I'm not sure if it really was or if it just felt that way because it didn't. I don't know, it was missing something. Obviously, the crowd plays such a huge part in NXT. That might be part of it. I don't know. Something was missing, but it was a really good match, and I'm glad that we actually have an NXT champion. That's a good feeling. Finn needed this title much more than Adam Cole. And Finn is the NXT champion for the first time in years, I think since 2015. And an old champ in a new era, the title matches from here on out are going to be fun. Between Io Shirai and Finn Balor, going to be good. Rhea Ripley promo, she says that Mercedes Martinez was trying to make a name for herself at my expense, but tonight, inside of that steel cage, I'm going to show you why I'm the nightmare. We cut from that, and Triple H, Bronson Reed, Fandango, I think Tyler Breeze, William Regal are all congratulating Finn Balor. Adam Cole walks in, and he shakes Finn's hand and says, "You were the better man tonight." They do the too sweet, which is pretty cool. And he tells Triple H, "Here we go again." And he's being interviewed. He says, "People asked Finn, why did you return to NXT?" He points to the title. He says, "This is the reason right here. Finn Balor, NXT champion." Fantastic. Loved it. Robert Stone's being interviewed in the back. He finds Shotzi Blackheart's tank that he was run over by two or three times now. He's about to hit it with a pipe. And Shotzi shows up and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" Before she can do anything, she's taken out by Aaliyah, and Aaliyah knocks her through like a curtain partition, and they crash through it. And when they crash through it, they land on Io Shirai. So Io Shirai and Shotzi Blackheart follow Aaliyah into the ring because she's running away. Io and Shotzi start beating up Aaliyah. Robert Stone tries to get on the top rope and jump and attack them while they're not paying attention, but Shotzi hits him in the stomach and takes him out. They both go to the top rope. Io hits a moonsault on Aaliyah, I think, and Shotzi hits the senton from the top rope on Robert Stone. They high five. In the commotion, the NXT Women's title is in the ring. Shotzi picks up the NXT Women's title. She almost hands it to Io, but then pulls it away and is raising it up, smiling, before Io pulls it away from her. I think what Io said was, "I like you, Shotzi. Don't make me hurt you," which is just a great thing to say. And then she leaves while Shotzi is still in the ring, smiling. So, Io and Shotzi right now, please, in a match, please. Thank you so much. Timothy Thatcher segment. He's doing a film study with his students for Thatch's Thatch Can. He's studying the tape of Damian Priest. He says when he punches, he's a great striker, but there's always an arm dangling, leaving him open to a counterattack. He says Priest leaves his feet a lot, and that is just stupid. When your feet are on the ground, you are in control. So, Thatcher's doing a lot of tape, watching, and studying his opponent. That's really cool. You don't see that a lot in wrestling. It would make sense that if you're going up for a title match, you would be studying your opponent. It's just not something we see a lot. And I think that's something that I would like to see implemented more, not exactly in this way, just so that it's not all the same thing, but could be an interesting concept that if you're going into a big match, it would make sense that you would study your opponent, I would think. Okay, here's the thing. Velveteen Dream's on my TV, and I thought that by this point it would feel less weird, but it feels exactly as weird. Look, I don't pretend to know what specifically is going on with the allegations made against him and the statement that Triple H made, which is that they looked into it and didn't find anything. I know that I don't necessarily trust WWE to make that final judgment, nor do I know if there are going to be any charges filed or if there's legitimacy to every claim made against him. I simply do not know. I have looked and I cannot find conclusively one way or the other. What I do know is that seeing Velveteen Dream on my screen, knowing the accusations, and just the way the gimmick comes across now, is weird for me, and it feels bad. And I was never the hugest fan of the Velveteen Dream gimmick, just because I thought when and if he got to the main roster, it would be taken as a joke. It would have been gold dust, except probably taken less seriously. And while Goldust had a great career, I don't know that if you give me every gimmick in the world, I want to be a Goldust or a Velveteen Dream, because they tend to put you in the same kinds of situations. And the Velveteen Dream gimmick is hyper-sexual. It's Prince. The gimmick is Prince. He's Prince. If Prince wrestled, he'd be the Velveteen Dream, is what the gimmick is. But I thought that it was a matter of getting used to seeing him again and it not feeling as weird, but it's not. It still feels weird and it still feels bad. Whether that's fair or not, I can't answer that for you personally. If you enjoy watching him, absolutely do. If you don't enjoy watching him, absolutely don't. And I do not begrudge you either way. You like what you like. If you're somebody that can separate art from artist, fair enough. I can respect that. I'm not somebody that can separate art from artist. I've never been able to, and I certainly can't start now. This is a match against an enhancement talent. Here's the thing. This is obviously weird for me, as I said, and I imagine it's probably weird for you just based on all of the feedback I've seen on him. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to skip it. I couldn't skip Velveteen Dream when he was in the ladder match for the North American title because he was one of the principal characters in that, but I can going forward. So, this segment I didn't watch. I fast-forwarded it. If you are a fan of the Velveteen Dream, I absolutely do not judge you, nor do I begrudge you in any way, shape, or form. I mean that sincerely, and I sincerely mean you can absolutely go back and watch this. I imagine it was an interesting match with an interesting enhancement talent just to get the Dream over, but for me and people who think similarly to me, the people who can't separate art from artist, who aren't comfortable with the gray area that we're left in with him and the gimmick itself, it makes me feel bad, and that's not why I watch wrestling. If this is all cleared up one day, and he's given a clean bill, and we can move forward from there, that would be great. But as everything stands right now, unless it's an unavoidable segment, I'm just not going to use the time that I have on this platform where we try and have fun and everything like that to cover it. The worst stuff that I want to cover is when I'm talking about news and notes and I have a bad story to report. This already feels weird enough. If you like it, check out the Hulu version. It's on there. Otherwise, we're going to move on. Breezango's doing an interview with the new tag team champions. It's a comedy thing because they're very funny. And I imagine they're going to be transitional champions because no brand seems to take them very seriously. They do that WWE thing where they find out you're funny, so they all that they have you do is jokes, and then that gets on you, and then you never really shake it. It's a lot of Imperium being serious and be like, you guys are bad for the sport, and your jokes are the sport, and then Breezango coming back with, yeah, well, we have your hardware, the one thing that was interesting about you. I like my steak to have a little sizzle. Okay, cool. It's a lot of Imperium being serious and Breezango doing bad jokes that it seems like were written for them. I'm all good. There was more in there, but I promise you nothing important. Next week, it's Imperium challenging Breezango for the tag titles. I don't know if Imperium's going back to NXT UK when they open that, so I don't think that Breezango's going to lose yet, but I don't think Breezango's in for a long tag team title run. They're not the general template for NXT tag champions, I don't think, but we'll see. Bronson Reed versus Austin Theory next. It's a pretty good match. Bronson Reed wins with a standing senton and then goes up to the top rope and hits a splash after Austin Theory couldn't lift Bronson Reed because Bronson Reed's a big boy. Impressive by Bronson Reed. I really thought he was going to win the North American title when we were leading up to TakeOver. And I thought he was going to win up until the last episode of NXT before TakeOver when they did that thing where everybody in a multi-man championship match is fighting and there's one person less standing. And then Bronson Reed was posing with the title, at which point I realized Bronson Reed was absolutely not winning the title. I still think it would have been good for Bronson Reed to win, but I don't begrudge them putting it on Damian Priest just because I was wrong. I'm wrong all of the time. So we'll see what they do with Bronson Reed going forward. They're certainly using him more and more seriously than they did. So if nothing else, he was elevated by that match, although he didn't win it. Adam Cole interview says, I'm disappointed. It wasn't the outcome I wanted, but the better man won tonight. I have respect for Finn Balor. Finn Balor is good, and he proved tonight that he's better than Adam Cole. But he better hope I don't get another chance at him, because I'll take his title, and that is undisputed. Do you get it? It's because he's an undisputed era. So Adam Cole's a babyface now. Never thought I'd see the day. He's good at it. He's just great at being a heel. It's kind of like Kevin Owens on Raw. Kevin Owens is either my first or second favorite wrestler given the day. It oscillates between Kevin Owens and The Fiend most of the time, and then Edge when he was back. Right now it's Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is very good as a babyface because he's an excellent talker, but Kevin Owens is his best version as a heel. He just is able to tap into that and make people hate him. Adam Cole, I think, is the same way, where I think he's going to be a really good babyface because he's fantastic in the ring, he's fantastic on the microphone, but there are some guys who are just heels, man. They're just bad guys. Kevin Owens is a bad guy, and Adam Cole's a bad guy. So I'm not mad at him being a babyface, and I think he's going to be great. I'm interested to see what they do with Adam Cole now, whether they call him up, which I think is going to be bad because Vince isn't going to like that he's not tall and he's not ripped, and Vince is a very shallow man. Vince signed Mankind back in the day because he wanted JR to know what it was like to believe in a talent and have them break your heart, and then Mankind became one of his biggest stars ever as Vince was drag kicking and screaming into accepting the fact that not every wrestler you ever have is going to be built like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. So I don't know that he's going to get a fair shake on Raw or SmackDown. I don't think that they care as much about talent as they say they do. I think that there's still that 80s mentality of you have to be able to turn heads when you walk through an airport. I never understood that. I never understood why that would be important to viewership. If I see somebody in an airport that makes me turn my head, I don't run up to that person like, sir, what do you do for a living? Is there any way that I could watch you maybe on a national television program? I just see that person go, huh, that was a big dude, and then go on about my business. I don't see how that translates into having a great product. I think a Kevin Owens is just as valuable as a Bobby Lashley. Just because they look different in their physiques doesn't mean that one should be given more chances than the other. But the powers that be very clearly disagree with that. So I'm worried for Adam Cole, but he is 100% overqualified to be very good on that main roster. So I hope that if he does go up, he's put in a good position. Damian Priest interview. So here's the thing. Interviewer comes to him and he's told that Thatcher is game planning. He says, we saw the clip of him watching and taking notes. What is your response? And your NXT North American champion says, my thoughts were, man, he's ugly. He wants a game plan. I'll give him one. I'm going to punch him. Then I'm going to kick him. I'm going to punch him hard in his stupid face. So just to recap, Timothy Thatcher, the challenger, is literally studying tape of Damian Priest matches and finding weaknesses he can exploit, whereas Damian Priest is saying, ha ha, man, he's ugly, I'm going to punch him in his stupid face, because Timothy Thatcher's not handsome, I guess is what we're doing. And then Damian Priest says, I'll beat him, and then I'll have my normal celebration, which, as you'll remember, is he hangs out with women in a hot tub, still wearing the leather pants that he wrestled in, and he says to the interviewer, who is a white blonde woman, and of course, I'll be celebrating, which you are, as always, more than welcome to join. Because what you want your babyface champion to do is unsolicited hit on women who did not make any advance towards you and say that somebody is ugly and has a stupid face. Cool. That's our champ, baby. I don't blame Damian Priest for that. That has nothing to do with Damian Priest. I promise you that. If Damian Priest had his choice of what to say there, I very highly doubt that that is what he would have chosen. Doesn't make me interested to see your match, just makes me not interested in you. Also, it's a weird thing for a babyface to do, but not weird for a WWE babyface, necessarily. Next week, we find out it's going to be Shotzi Blackheart versus Io Shirai, I believe in a non-title match, which, yes, please, that's going to be great. We cut back, the steel cage is down, and now it's time for our main event. Wade Barrett says here that, I've competed in steel cage matches against Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and I hated every minute of it. This is flesh versus steel, and to this day, steel is still undefeated. Boy, oh boy, Wade Barrett is so good at this, and I want him to be a commentator forever. It makes sense that he would be good at it. He was always a good talker, and he should have been bigger than he was in WWE. Still carved out a solid career. He and Vic Joseph and Beth Phoenix were really good tonight. I'm very much going to miss Mauro Ranallo. I don't know why he's gone. I don't know what's going on. And I'm going to miss their dynamic. I'm going to miss Nigel McGuinness. It seems like he was obviously furloughed because, you know, WWE is so strapped for cash. They had to furlough people. Again, just friendly reminder, only company in wrestling to do that still to this day. But seems like he might be brought back to be on the NXT UK brand. I don't generally watch NXT UK just because I have my plate full with Raw, SmackDown, doing the NXT podcast, which you're currently listening to. So I won't hear from him a lot, but Nigel McGuinness is fantastic. I think Wade Barrett fits really well on NXT. I think Vic Joseph is really good on NXT, and Beth Phoenix has improved a lot, and she's excellent. And so I like the team that they have right now, and Wade Barrett is adding a lot to it. Not only the voice and the sense of humor, but just the fact that he's been in WWE and he can drop, I've been in steel cage matches against some of the best, and I hated every minute of it, puts a steel cage match over so much more than just saying 2 tons of steel or however much. It makes it personal, and you can really feel it. You can feel it more when Wade Barrett says it because you've seen Wade Barrett in these types of matches before, and he can draw on experience, which through no fault of their own, announcers usually can't, which helps paint a better picture of what we're going to see here. Mercedes Martinez comes out first, accompanied by Robert Stone. She comes to the ring with a kendo stick, throws that in the ring, goes under the ring, grabs 2 chairs, throws them in, goes back for 2 more chairs, throws them in, goes back again for a table, but Rhea Ripley attacks her before she can get it. Rhea then kicks the cage door as Mercedes Martinez is wedged between that door and the outside of the cage. They're not even in the ring yet. And then she throws Mercedes in the cage. Then Rhea grabs the table, brings it into the cage. This was an excellent match. It was hard-hitting. It absolutely should have been the main event. Robert Stone was basically left hanging on the top of the cage when he was trying to climb in and help, but then Rhea attacked him, and then Mercedes Martinez took Rhea out, so it just left Robert Stone comically hanging from the cage. Robert Stone is great. I don't care what you say. He's fantastic. He could be in every segment. I'm never going to get sick of him because he's so great. So they have the table set up, and they're sitting in the corner very close to the table. Mercedes Martinez is trying to put Rhea Ripley through the table. Rhea Ripley finally overpowers her, and Rhea hits the Riptide from the, I believe it was the second rope or top rope. She does the Riptide from the top rope through that setup table and picks up the win. Again, excellent match. It absolutely deserved to be the main event based on the match that they had. The story, maybe not as much just because of the way that it was set up, but these two women over-delivered in this main event. It didn't feel like a steel cage match for the sake of a steel cage match, which can be a problem in WWE, and it didn't feel like a women's steel cage match for the sake of having the first ever women's steel cage match like WWE likes to do. It felt like two badass wrestlers who were really mad at each other could not solve this any other way but to get in a steel cage. And I like that there was really no attempt by either of them to escape the steel cage. It always feels weird when your heroes can just escape and you win by escaping. I imagine you could have, but they were going for the kill. They were going for pins. They were going for submissions. Neither of them had any interest in leaving the cage. They just wanted to fight uninterrupted. And that's a really, really cool way to do a steel cage match. They had a lot of weapons, but they didn't overdo them. They did a lot of moves onto the weapons and would throw chairs and use the kendo stick to get out of Rhea Ripley's submission, the finish coming through the table. There were a lot of creative ways and not overstated ways to use the weapons that can be a trap for a lot of wrestlers in a lot of matches, and they navigated it really well. The weapons made it feel brutal, but it didn't feel like the weapons were a crutch. It felt like they could have had this match without them, but it added a level of intensity that wouldn't have been there otherwise. Point being, Rhea Ripley is the friggin' best. Mercedes Martinez is awesome. And Rhea Ripley wins, which I think is the right outcome. I think after, in a .com thing, Robert Stone, I think, fires Mercedes Martinez from the Robert Stone brand. And then Mercedes Martinez, as she's leaving, is given a restraining order by Robert Stone. So now the Robert Stone brand is back to just Robert Stone and Aaliyah. I want more Robert Stone, so I imagine he's not going anywhere. But it definitely helped having Mercedes Martinez in the Robert Stone brand, because Aaliyah is there to just get beat up, like in that earlier segment. So was Robert Stone. And then they had this machine in Mercedes Martinez, but that's over now. So Robert Stone's probably going to go back to just being a comedy character, which he's very funny, so I don't hate. But with that three count, that means that my time is just about up. I know, I'm sad too. Once again, you can find me on Twitter if you miss me too much in between recordings. I am at ZachNXT, that's ZachNXT. If you want to talk wrestling or life or anything, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to hear brought up in the show. A lot of times my news and notes segment come right from Twitter and people's opinions, and we can hash it out there and I can talk about it on the show. Otherwise, I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode, because I certainly enjoyed making it. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been just the best. Thank you and have a great day.